Jesus said, "Blessed are the persecuted," and they are suffering big time right now. This is Bible League International, and 19-year-old Aria was beaten by her own father and violated by local authorities. You know what her crime was? Simply that she gave her life to Jesus Christ after leaving radical Islam. They need Bibles in order to endure and persevere. And that's why Truth Network and Bible League are teamed up to send God's Word to 3,500 persecuted believers around the world at $5 a Bible. $100 sends 20. Call 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD. Word 800 yes word or give at truthnetwork.com.
This is Sam from the Mask and Journey podcast, and our goal with the podcast is help you to try to find your way in this difficult world. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
And here's the windup and the pitch.
Welcome to the Christian Car Guy Radio Show.
I say this calls for action, and now.
'Cause our two hearts will make it easy, joining up the pieces, together making one.
One, it's just a wind-up. The pitch brings the morning. That's the show today on the Christian Car Guy Show. That's cryptic as it can be, because for whatever reason, God loves to be cryptic with me. So you have to engage your heart. You have to think, what in the world could Robbie be talking about today? 32 to 1 is just a wind-up. The pitch brings the morning. You heard, right, the wind-up in the pitch from ABC Sports there. You might have recognized that. And then 32 Footsteps by Giant. And then Codaline was singing You Are the One, which I love that song. I really, really do, especially if you put the idea that Jesus thinks that you're the one. What? Can your heart really grasp that? That you are the one? And so today, joining me, a couple of really good friends that have never met each other, but I, you know, it's cool to have them on the show with me today. Mike Zwick, the host of If Not For God, and sometimes I refer to him as my very own Zwickipedia. Yes, because he's got a Bible verse on almost anything you say. It's really cool to see. Mike, welcome. It's good to have you on today. He's got a big event coming up that we're going to share with you today. And then I have Terry Inman, who is one of our Jesus Labor Love volunteers. That's car repair labor for single moms, widows, families in crisis. And Terry is one of our tow guys.
I am.
And he also, you know, helps out when we get cars donated. And so a big part of the Jesus Labor Love, and longtime friend of Bob from 109 U Pullin. He is filling in today for Bob because Bob's fishing, of all things.
He said those reds were running in.
So we're looking forward to that. So to get into what I always get into, you know, today's show is brought to you by Hebrew Letter. And today's show is brought to you by the Hebrew, that's like Sesame Street, Mike. So the Hebrew letter for today is the word lamed, the letter lamed, which is also a word. And so I want you to think of the word or the word love, and it starts with an L, right? And so does the word learning. They're both, they start with that L sound. There's a very good reason they do that, because in Hebrew they do as well in so many different ways. Loving and learning are very much connected, but they also, in their own way, bring light. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but when you begin to learn something, it's like the light comes on. Or when you truly you know, spread your love around is just bringing light. And so that has something to do with 32 to 1 is just the wind up. The pitch brings the morning. And so I want to kind of take you some verses that will explain what it is I'm saying. Okay. And so here's this interesting verse. It's the sixth verse in the sixth chapter of the Song of Solomon. It says, "Thy teeth are as a flock of sheep, which come up from the washing, whereof each one bears twins, and there is not one barren among them." So there's the answer to 32. Do you know how many teeth you have?
32.
Okay, so there's the first part of this cryptic message. But the interesting thing about the sixth verse in the Song of Solomon is it's almost identical to the fourth verse in the second verse of the fourth chapter, which says exactly the same thing, but it says, "Thy teeth are as a flock of sheep, well shorn, coming up from the washing." So when I was studying this verse, sometimes you have to chew on a verse with your teeth. Mm. God was illustrating this verse to me with my own pondering. So I began to ponder, why is it that when Jesus described his beloved bride in the fourth chapter, her teeth were well shorn coming up from the washing? And why is it in this verse, after she'd gone through the shenanigans of, you know, getting beat up by the watchman on the walls and all that stuff, why did she now not have well-shorn teeth anymore? Mm. What's up with that? Mm. And I pondered and I pondered till my ponder was sore to. And it came to me, you know, that when your teeth come up, they cut. And interestingly, when you're a little child, you only have 20 teeth. Did you know that?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, my daughter Anne just got her first two teeth in. So.
Right, yeah. Right. And those were incisors, right? The first two teeth.
Yeah.
And so if you think about teeth from a standpoint of spiritual teeth, okay, because everything's a picture of something spiritual to an extent in the Bible. So what do you do with your spiritual teeth? Well, you chew on the Word of God is what you do.
Right.
And so you need incisors which bite into it, mm-hmm. right? Those two front teeth, or there's actually eight incisors in your mouth, and they bite out things like an apple, like you would bite out a piece of scripture that you're going to study, like these two verses we're just going to talk about. And then, right, you got to kind of cut it up with your cuspids or your incisors, you know, those eye teeth that you have. And those eye teeth will kind of cut that up. And then if you're a child, you have what they're called premolars. They're not going to be your molars yet. Mm-hmm. And there's the next group of teeth, and you only have eight of those. And those are called bicuspids, or they're called premolars. Mm-hmm. And those begin to chew it up. But as you get older, interestingly, you get some teeth. What are they called, Terry? That a lot of people get them impacted, and they got to take them out.
Wisdom.
Wisdom.
There you go. Had you ever thought about why those are called wisdom teeth? From a spiritual standpoint, how do you get wisdom? You chew on the Word of God. And guess what? Sheep sometimes get that word to come back like they chew the cud, right? You chew on a passage, you go somewhere, you do something, and all of a sudden it comes back up and you're chewing it again. Mm-hmm. And what are you doing that with? Your wisdom teeth. Mm-hmm. So in the fourth chapter, she just cut her teeth. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Your teeth are well shorn.
Mm-hmm.
You just cut your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
But by the sixth chapter, they're not fresh anymore. She'd been chewing on this stuff for a while.
Yeah.
And so something to think about, that as you've been chewing, you've been learning and you've been growing and you've been being nourished by the Word of God in so many different ways. And so when he says, you know, you got your teeth are like a flock of sheep, it's a big deal. And then your cheeks are two pieces of a pomegranate within thy locks, which has to do with, actually, there's 613 seeds, from what I understand, in a pomegranate, which have to do with knowledge. Well, as you use those teeth to chew, you gain a whole lot of knowledge, which are seeds, right? Mm-hmm. That you now are able to plant in other people's lives and all that. And then Jesus loads up and throws this pitch, okay? And here's what he says. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother, is the choice one of her that bare her. How many times do you say one in that passage? Three times. There, right? And that word one in Hebrew is a spectacular word, okay? Because you are the one, you know, 32 to 1, okay? Mm-hmm. Now you understand, 32 to 1. okay? You are the one, which means one is a fantastic number that is also an adjective. And when you think about the Shema, the prayer that the Hebrews say every morning, right? They say, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one." And why that's a big deal is because you're united as one. You're first. It's a comparative number. You're first. You're best. It's singular. You're one. And then it's an indefinite article. Someone. You're somebody because you're one, right? Mm-hmm. And somewhat it's incomparable because, you know, number one is number one. And then one has to do with also time because once upon a time. One is also a reference to time in its own way. And then one is also has to do with, you know, something to delight in. So you got this idea of the one. And, you know, you can see 1,000 movies on Lifetime and they're going to be talking about, is this guy the one?
Yeah.
Well, had you considered...
Because we all watch 1,000 movies on Lifetime.
Right? I do.
That was a long time ago. We're past Lifetime.
All right. Well, on PureFlix, you know, same thing. There are a lot of those movies I watch.
Now you're cooking.
Okay. On PureFlix or whatever. You're the one. You know, the one. And so 32 to 1 is just the windup, okay? Wait till you hear the pitch. That's coming. And your calls, I'm excited to hear what you have to think about after we share some of this other stuff. 866-348-7884 is the number to call in and share about the one, someone in your life. 866-348-7884.
You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
And here's the windup and the pitch. 32 footsteps, handing them as up 32 footsteps. You make my heart feel like it's summer. When the rain is pouring down, you make my heart feel summer. When it's wrong, 'cause I know you are the one.
Two to one is just the windup. The pitch brings the morning. That's what we're talking about today on the Christian Car Guys show. And I hope you followed with me in the first segment that the 32 have to do with your teeth and the fact that you're the one. And by the way, the church is really a bigger, you know, when you know, you're the one, that's true. But me and Mike and Terry and you listening and all these people, that then we really are that church that is the one. And so after Jesus says that about that she's the choice of her mother, and then he says 60 queens, wow, or threescore queens and 80 concubines and virgins without numbers, wow, but my dove is undefiled, right? And then it says the queens and the concubines, they praised her. Okay, and for those of us who are big, huge Song of Solomon fans,
yeah,
would know that, and if not, I hope you'll become a Song of Solomon fan. In the very beginning of the story, she felt black, and she said, "I'm black, but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon." I mean, that's feeling pretty black, right?
Yeah.
And she said, "Don't look at me because I'm black. Don't stare at me because I'm black. Because the sun looked upon me." So she could see that she felt black. Now listen, think about it. What was she saying? That the daughters of Jerusalem were judging her, right? You look black. You know, you're looking a little black.
Yeah.
And that's a reference to sin, by the way, right? It's a reference to that you've been working under the sun rather than working under the S-O-N.
Oh.
Okay. And that was, you know, if you think about Solomon and how many references he made to under the sun in the book of Ecclesiastes, under the sun from Solomon's point of view was that you were working in the earthly world rather than working under the S-O-N sun. So now the daughters of Jerusalem say this, and here's the pitch, okay? And here comes the morning. She said, "Who is she that looketh forth as the morning? Fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners." In other words, if you're following the story, here these people were judging the bride, and they thought she looked pretty black. they thought she looked pretty sinful. But now they're saying, oh, you look like you're coming to the morning, which, by the way, that's the S-O-N. And fair as the moon. Well, it's interesting. The moon in Hebrew, I think it's helpful to know, is the word white expressed. And, oh, by the way, so is Lebanon a version of the word white, and so is the word frankincense a version of the word white. Why? Because they all have to, if you look at the Lebanon from Israel, you're going to look at the mountains, and they're white. Or if you look at a piece of frankincense, it's white, okay? And whiteness has everything to do with you being the bride, by the way. And so fair as the moon mean that this bride is dressed in white, and that's pure. Mm. And how did it get pure? Well, Jesus. I mean, it just, she has gotten so close to Jesus, she now reflects Jesus. And so it's coming like the morning, and it's clear. Like, how would you like to be so clear that people could see Jesus right through you, right?
Yeah.
Clear as the sun.
Yeah.
And here's the really cool thing, and Matthew Henry points this out about this verse, that if you could get that pure, if you could be that white, then you are such a terror to the darkness, it's unbelievable, right? Mm-hmm. You are as terrible as an army with banners because of your purity,
yeah.
Right? That it's because Jesus gave you that purity that you have, and by the way, you really do have it all, and you really are that white. But it's hard to see ourselves that way, which gets to what I really want to talk about today.
Okay.
I had to give you all that so you could understand where I was going. So, you know, if we could be all that, and we were driving around, we would try to be an army of people that are trying to make a way with our driving, with our lives. In other words, are we bringing light with our driving, or are we bringing darkness? Are we, bringing the sun? Or, you know, are we letting that person in? Or are we, you know, being part of the church that is always, by the way, coming to the rescue? Because when the world looks out, like I was at a service on Sunday, beautiful service, where this girl from Ukraine got up and spoke, and she represented 7 churches in Ukraine that are about the only people that are handing out all these different resources to people that are trying to flee the country. And all these people are coming to the church. Mm. Well, don't you think that is, you know, like the dawning of the morning, you know,
absolutely,
white as the moon. Like, who is that? And oh, by the way, the governments around the world will tell you that when the ox truly gets in the ditch, who always shows up? It's the Baptist men, or it's the hurricane. It's the church that really, really does this. Mm. And so the world sees that. But the interesting thing is that when Jesus, the last thing he says before the praise, he says that the queens and the concubines praised her. And in that word praise is Hallel. Mm. You hear the L's in it? There's 2 of them. Mm-hmm. Hallel. And the word praise is like a double dose of light, of love, of learning. Okay? Mm-hmm. So since you can't describe yourself as all that, it's pretty hard for me to sit there and go, I'm as, you know, like the dawning of the morning and bright as, no. I can't think like myself of that, but I can think of that in somebody else. Like I see it in Mike. I see it in Terry. Mm-hmm. You know, I had this pastor, Pastor Quartz, and he was amazing. Who every time you saw him, he was so interested, and you could see the grace in his eyes and his love and his, and he would just want to know all about you and what was going on in your life and whatever. And in spite of the fact that there were 6,000-7,000 members in the church, he could tell you my daughter's name, where I worked. He could tell you all these different things about me. And it wouldn't be unusual for him to call me at night and say, Robbie, it's Mark. He wouldn't say it's Pastor Corey. He would say, Robbie, it's Mark. Right?
Yeah.
And so to me, you know, he was that. And so as you bring praise to somebody else, whoever that may be, or you bring praise to God, you bring light. So, as you're thinking about that today, who is that for you? I would love to hear. 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. We have Pastor Dana Coverstone is going to be with us in the next segment. He's calling in. How fun is that about the event that Mike Zwick is putting on? And I get to be part of. We got more of the Jesus Labor Love. But most importantly, we need you. We need your person that you think brings light. 866-34-TRUTH.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
And here's the windup.
And the pitch. 32 footsteps, counting them as up, 32 footsteps. You made my heart feel like it's summer. When the rain is pouring down. You made my whole world feel summer. When it's wrong, cause I know you're not the one. That's why I know you're not the one.
So who just... are you sure is the one? You know, in other words, when you see them, you know that they are the bride of Christ, and they just reflect the morning in so many different ways. I would love to hear that, who that person may be for you. 866-348-7884, because as you praise them, you're bringing light,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And in so many different ways, people never get to hear. And so maybe it'd be good if you just told them, by the way, that they bring the light for you, whatever that is. 866-348-7884. And so talking about bringing light, Mike, we got a big event coming up November 4th, 5th, and 6th in North Carolina. If you're in North Carolina, or maybe even if you're in Virginia or South Carolina, be worth coming up.
Yeah, I just got a message from my If Not For God with Mike Zwick page, and a lady said, hey, I was looking at I'm going to come see Pastor Dana Coverstone. And she says, I'm coming up from South Carolina. Do you know of a good hotel to stay at? And I'm like, yeah. So we do have people from different states coming in, and it's going to be at 6 o'clock that Friday night. Pastor Dana is going to be speaking that night. 5 o'clock Saturday and 5 o'clock Sunday. And Robbie, you're going to be speaking Sunday at 5. But did you say you had Pastor Dana's on? Or?
Yeah, Pastor David is actually on with us. Pastor David.
Dana. Or
Dana, I'm sorry. Why did I say that? I know it's Dana. Hey, Dana, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, folks.
We are excited for what's going on in November, this revival that's going to be going on in Burlington, North Carolina at the Cox Toyota store. And Pastor, you're going to be sharing, and a lot of people real familiar with some of the videos that you did on YouTube back right as COVID hit. But lately, your ministry continues to just grow and grow, and you got all sorts of ways that God is using your light.
Well, I'm just, for the most part, I'm just trying to encourage believers right now. We're going through a lot of crazy times, crazy things, crazy headlines, and the Lord is trying to just keep the church focused, you know, keep our eyes on the keep our knees on the ground, our eyes on the Lord. And so that's the most important thing that I'm doing, is just trying to encourage believers to stay focused and steady.
That's beautiful. And so, Mike, how did this come about? Like, whoa, this idea, this revival.
This revival, I had a friend of mine named Frank Carpy, and he's in Burlington. And I was saying, hey, we should have a revival. And we did actually have a revival. It was with a friend of mine, Justin and Brooke Noop, and Nanette Noel helped put that together as well. Sharon Hungerford was there, our friend who was on. Several other people, John Perry, you know, John Perry from Wednesday in the Word, sure. Baller Nation. And so that went well. And the Lord, really, it was just the Lord who said, hey, let's do a tent revival. And our good friend Cameron Horner and his mother, Joanna Horner, they had done a tent revival at Cox Toyota several times. They had something called The Return. And they said, well, it's going to be about $13,000 to rent a tent for the 3 days. And then he said, hold on, I know a guy who actually does this as a ministry, and he doesn't charge for it. They just take up a love offering. And I just started talking to people, started praying. And about a week ago, the Lord told me to walk around where the tent was going to be 7 times. And then the Lord told me to start calling different churches and what to do. And I tell you what, it says in scripture that unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. But Pastor Dana, what made you decide to come down from Kentucky?
It's just time to make. It's time to get the word out. You know, I'm big on pro-life, and we're seeing what happened since Roe v. Wade. We see the states coming against it. We see the cult of death at work. And you had spoken to me about having a heart for the pro-life movement, and God's laid a message, a very, very deep-seated, deeply rooted message in my heart about the church's response. We right now are the only group, the only entity. The church is it that's standing up for the unborn. Mm-hmm. And so after you and I spoke, and we did a couple interviews on it, that has resonated in my heart. So when you called, I was ready to say yes. And so I'm looking forward to being there, sharing my heart, preaching the word, and seeing the church come together to stand up and fight for one of the most important things which is the unborn. So glad to be a part, and thank you for asking me to come and be a part of that. I greatly appreciate it.
Oh, it's so awesome. Thank you so much for calling in today, too, Pastor. And we look forward to seeing you. I've talked to you many times, never had a chance to meet you. So that's great. Have you ever met him?
Yeah.
Mike?
Via FaceTime.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, we'll see you. We'll see you coming
up. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
November 4th, 5th, and 6th in Burlington, North Carolina at the Cox Toyota. So, you know, wow. You know, that's a real opportunity. And Mike and Cameron had come to do the Christian Car Guys show here because I was away fishing, as you know, Terry. With the other Terry, I was fishing. And they had come to do the show that Saturday, but there was a hurricane. And so, you know, apparently they didn't, you know, get a chance to talk about this revival and what's going on again. November 4th, 5th, and 6th. It's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But, you know, don't forget what I'm asking today, okay? Now, what I'm asking is who, right? Who, when you think of that person that brings light, I know that reflects Jesus in such a way that, like, man, that, or maybe they've left the earth, like my Pastor Quartz has left. He's no longer here. Who comes to mind? Is there somebody that comes to mind for you, Terry?
Yeah, me and Tina are part of a new church in Kernersville. It's Kernersville Westland. And Pastor Dave at that church is shining light in my life. He shares a story every week, and we are very excited about being a part of this church. They have a new pastor that's come on, and we look forward to it.
Yeah, so cool. How about you, Mike?
Man, there's a ton of them. Definitely my mother. You know, my mother, ever since I was a kid, my mother would pray for me, and she would pray for my salvation. And of course, I went off to college, and the last thing on my mind was Jesus. but my senior year of college, this girl kept pestering me about Jesus, and finally I said, okay. But from the time that I said, okay, it wasn't just an okay, it was something that I took very seriously. And so, you know, I think we had talked about this before, Robbie, but, you know, we say, well, we've got to tell people about Jesus. We've got to go up. And we do. We have to share the gospel. It's important to share the gospel. But, you know, and we talked about the power of prayer and praying for the people who are not saved, praying for the people who are in rebellion, that's the biggest thing that we can do, because if we don't do that, if God doesn't soften their heart, then we can talk to them all they want, but, you know, it's not going to do a whole lot of good.
Right, which is a reference to from my standpoint, when the daughters of Jerusalem say about the bride that she's terrible as an army with banners.
Yeah.
Well, where she is awesome, where she's at her most awesome, and is when she's actually in prayer, which hopefully we're doing that all the time without ceasing. But when we're in prayer, you're actually in connection with the one who can do something, mm-hmm. right? Because apart from me, what can you do, Mike?
Nothing. Nada.
And so, you know, if you think about it, if you're not in prayer, then you're pretty much, you know, you can't do nothing.
Yeah.
Right. So that's, but when you're in prayer,
yes,
then you're an army, because not only are you one with Christ,
yeah,
but you're one with his church.
That's right.
Right? Yeah. And so that idea of oneness comes back as this terrible as an army with banners, and that oneness only happens actually through your unity and the beauty of the power of that. You know, the darkness has to just literally freak out.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what I'm excited about, you know, is in so many different ways, God is mobilizing this army.
Yeah.
Right? And just like your event that's coming up, sure. Right, is we're there. You know, I'm going to feel the army. I get to do a boot camp, you know, mm-hmm. a few weeks later,
yeah.
You know, that, you know, with Masculine Journey. And when I'm there, I can assure you, you've been to a boot camp. You guys have both been to boot camps. You hadn't been to the same boot camp together, but both of you have. But you know what it's like to pray with those guys at boot camp around a campfire?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That there's a certain camaraderie of the church that when you're usually, you know, in that situation where everybody's chasing after the heart of God, you know, given a weekend or whatever time to go do that, whether it's revival or whatever, and here they are, and they're in deep communion with God, and all of a sudden they're praying together?
Yeah.
Like, man, the power of that is awesome.
Yeah, very strong.
It's awesome. And so I know you know what I'm talking about, and I know it's on your heart. And you say, well, I had a call. Yeah, you ought to call. It's 866-348-7884. The reason is to see you're going to bring light. You're going to bring that Hallel as you praise somebody, something, something that you see Christ in. You see in so many cool ways. You know, you're bringing the light. And so, you know, I love that opportunity we have on this show. And it's the listeners that have always made the show, so I need you to make the show. 866-348-7884. Just one segment left. Thank you so much for staying with us. We'll be right back, hopefully with some amazing, amazing testimonies.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
And here's the windup and the pitch.
32 footsteps, counting them as up, 32 footsteps.
You make my heart feel like it's summer. When the rain is pouring down, you make my heart feel like summer. When it's wrong, cause I know you are the one.
32 to 1 is just a wind up. The pitch brings the morning. And so we've been talking about you have 32 feet teeth, right? Which interestingly, there were 32 generations from Adam to Jesse. When you think about it, David was excellent at chewing on the word, almost like nobody else. 32 feet teeth to end up with the one who, you know, the pitch brings the morning. So, you know, as the church is bringing the morning, we would love to hear who that is for you or how that works out in your life. We have Jason is in Wake Forest, North Carolina. Jason, you're on the Christian Car Guy Show. Good morning.
Morning, fellas. How you doing?
Doing good.
I'm excited to hear what you have.
Well, the person who brought the most joy into my life and showed the light of Jesus was my mother.
Wow.
She always saw the good in people. She always spoke positive. She always prayed, and she always trusted Jesus. Even when I was lost and Satan had me, she trusted God. And I miss her. She's at home with Jesus now. But if more people could be like her and show Christ's love, the world would be a much better place.
That is so spectacular. You know, Jason, I've met so few people in the world like that, right? That never had anything bad to say about anybody. Mm. What if that could be said about us?
Yeah.
You know, Robbie never had anything bad to say about anybody. Well, that is not true this moment, but boy, what would it mean if it could be true about us? What was your mother's name, Jason?
Her name was Mona Lisa.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And I bet she had a smile that everybody remembered.
Oh, yes. Everyone remembers her as just being one of the sweetest, most beautiful women that ever was.
And so did your mom get to see the fruit of her prayers? Was she around when you came to Christ?
Oh, that's a great question because I was a drug addict for 2 decades. And mom saw me delivered instantly. She saw my dad healed instantly. She got to see my dad, who was completely against speaking in tongues, start speaking in tongues.
She must have been praying hard for him.
Anyways, that's another story in itself. But he was completely against it. All of a sudden, he's walking around the house speaking in tongues. We're giving our testimonies in church, and she's seeing miracles. We're starting to operate in the kingdom of God, as opposed to just learning. We're starting to realize that it's a walk with God, and it's very passionate and emotional, and we're entering into his kingdom here on earth.
Wow.
And we're starting to inherit that kingdom. And so she sees all of this, yes.
Yeah, and as a result of for all that light she reflected, right? We can all hear it in your voice too, Jason. So God bless you, man. You're your mother's son. That's beautiful.
Yes.
Thank you, buddy. Thanks so much for all, man. You made my day. I love that. I love that. God bless.
Thanks. Look forward to the revival. See you there.
Yes.
I hope so. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Be sure and come up to me and say, "You remember me? I'm Jason. I'm, you know, talked about my mom. I would love to see you, Jason. That'd be awesome. God bless."
I'll be there, brother. All right, brother. Have a blessed day. Thanks for everything.
You too.
Thank you, guys.
Bye bye.
Thank you.
Oh, somebody called in from Whitsitt and then they got gone. But all right. Well, they're going to call back, we hope. 866. Who is that in your life? 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. So if you're like me, you just ponder things like, why? What's up with these numbers, right? And I love to ponder things. And that's part of chewing with my 32 teeth. God gave me these, so I like to chew on stuff. So when I said 3 score queens and 4 score concubines and virgins without numbers, what's that about? Well, and you might even remember that I think it's in the third chapter where it says 3 score valiant warriors, or it says behold his bed, which is Solomon's 3 score valiant warriors about it. So here's the second time that Solomon's used this word 3 score, which is 60. Well, interestingly, if you do all the math, and apparently Rashi and several other Jewish scholars have, there were 60 families that Abraham essentially, you know, was responsible for fathering. 60 that were involved with Jacob, so to speak. Okay, so it's not, because there are certain families that don't count, like Esau's family and you know, the family of Ishmael, et cetera, but there's 60 that are considered literally the 60 queens, right? Mm-hmm. And 80 concubines has to do with, there are 80 families that came out of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, which are the Noahide group, right? Mm-hmm. Well, the point of all that is if you really thought about how many people did it take to get a Terry? I mean, and it had to be exactly, there were all these wonderful families that led to families that led to families, and it says virgins without number that led to all these maidens falling in love and all the love that was involved in order to get a Mike Zwick in your mother, or to get a Terry Inman in your mother, right? Or to get a Robbie Dillmore in his mother. And so when you think about when Jesus sees you, just like Jason was talking about, he sees his mother too, right? I'm sure he does.
Yeah.
You know, because he knew that it was through her love we get a Jason, right?
That's right.
He knew that it was through your mother's love, Mike, we get a Mike.
Yes.
And what was your mother's name, Terry?
Paige.
Paige. God bless her. she had a chance to pray, didn't she?
Well, I never had the chance to meet her. She passed away 15 days after I was born.
I did not know that.
And small world, yesterday I had a gentleman call me and happened to go to his house and buy a car from him. And he said, "Is your dad Terry Inman?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "I grew up with your dad. I was a small kid. I used to shoot basketball at his basketball goal, and I had the opportunity to be around your mom." And he was like, "Wow, you look just like her. Your eyes are just like her."
Wow.
But it was just, you know, amazing.
And so
it was a God moment.
But, I was fortunate. I had a lady to come into my life. I call her my mother. Her name is Karen. She raised me. And I look back and you keep saying, but her father was a deacon at Rosemont Baptist Church on Clemensville Road, and he was, what you're saying, he was that guy I looked up to because of Christ and right. what he had in his heart.
But, Nate, did you have a chance to talk to the man yesterday about your mother?
Yeah. We spent some good time. I got him reconnected with my dad, and he said, "Well, I bumped into your dad about 15 years ago. I started working at R.J. Reynolds, and your dad was training me." And he said, "I ended up going to his house and buying a leather coat, and I still got the leather coat." So I got him connected back with my dad. It was just a real good moment. He happened to quit. He furloughed from U.S. Air, went to work for Richard Childers. He took over for Chocolate Myers. He was the gas man for Richard Childers for 10 years. It's a very small world.
Mm.
How cool is it that you had that discussion just the other day? And again, you know, really, really cool that... I hope that you use your 32 teeth this week with joy and yeah. chew on something and think, man, I need to chew on this some more. That's good, because the more you chew, the more you use those wisdom teeth. Yeah, it's yeah. good. And that's fun stuff. And also, you know, think about praising other people, because you bring the light when you do that. And I love what Jason was saying, that, man, wouldn't it be good? You know, he never has anything bad to say about anybody. Mm. Like, wow, what a beautiful word was brought. You know, something to chew on today.
Some people never have a good thing to say about anybody.
Yeah. Speaking of wisdom, you know, you could be impacted by all these things. Right. So remember, slow down. Jesus walked everywhere he went. Right. Got it all done in 32 years.
This is the Truth Network.